Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are in 1 Samuel chapter number 10, making some progress, and we are right in verse number 1. So let me just start by reading a couple verses, and we will dive right in. The Bible says, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil." Remember now, Saul has spent the night at Samuel's place. Samuel has already told him, "Saul, you're the one whom God has chosen." But he really doesn't have any additional information other than maybe that talk they had the day before. But the Bible says here that Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" That's one verse, but there's a whole lot there in that one verse. So, John, it's interesting to me just at the get-go here that this anointing of Saul was somewhat of a private affair.
Yeah, it was a private affair. And I think that is remarkable, you know, for Saul's benefit. This is very private. It's not at all done publicly yet. And we'll get to that down the road. But here in a private confirmation, private anointing, Samuel does tell Saul again, "You are the one whom God has chosen. You are going to lead the people of God."
I think there's a great truth in the private victories and experiences we have that help us to have confidence in more public arenas. For instance, you know, David stood before Saul, this very Saul, years later at the Battle of Elah, and said, "I know God can help me with this giant because he was there privately with me when I killed the bear and when I killed the lion. No one else was there, but I was there. And I have that experience. That experience fuels my public service." I think even of Paul speaking to Timothy at the end of his life. And Timothy was flagging a bit in his spirit, a little bit reluctant to speak out as he once had for the Lord. And Paul said, "Stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands." So a very private, maybe ordination ceremony years before was something that Paul said, "Timothy, let this help fan the flame in your life."
You know, it's interesting to see in Scripture how God does often affirm people privately, as you mentioned before, it is public. I think even to Peter, after Peter denies Christ. Mm-hmm. We don't know the details about this, but we are told that after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to Peter. What did he say there? The Bible doesn't tell us. It's just a passing reference. Now, later on in John 21, we're going to see where openly before the other disciples, Jesus will affirm Peter and tell him, you know, to be in the ministry. But I love how that God knows where we are at as individuals. And God often will take, as he prepares us, will get us ready by giving us some private affirmation, as you mentioned, that he is going to use us.
Anointing is typically something that we associate with the priests, the different, stipulations about anointing are listed there in Exodus 28, 29, 30, that section. Interesting that the anointing oil that was made for the anointing, you weren't supposed to have that mixture for anything else. It was a specific oil mixture that was only dedicated for anointing. In other words, this is something very special, set apart, a very unique task, whether it be for the king or for the prophet or for the priest. It was a symbol of God's selection and favor upon that individual.
You know, and this is quite remarkable that Saul is going to be the first king of Israel who's going to receive this anointing. Very special anointing, as you refer to, Pastor, and God's going to give Saul this great honor. You know, what will Saul do with this? Well, God does choose him, and Saul is going to be affirmed by Samuel, and he's going to tell him, this is what God is going to do in your life.
Let me go back to the verse here where it says that he poured it upon his head and kissed him. And obviously we understand it was a kiss of affection, very common in those days. But there's an intimacy here. There's a closeness here as this father figure, this prophet of God, this leader of the country gets close to him. The embrace, the kiss, the warmness of it. That must have been very striking and memorable for Saul.
You know, and as I think about this, my mind goes back to what you mentioned about Paul and Timothy. Although the relationship was different, clearly there's some commonalities. And one, Samuel has been the leader. He has been the judge of Israel, but he knows that's going to change. He knows that God has now chosen Saul. And Samuel, you know, his influence will wane somewhat with time, and eventually he'll die. And so Paul, you know, selects Timothy as a man who can carry the torch, you know, take this torch and carry it on. And any time we're in ministry and we have the next torch bearer coming along, there's always this heart that we want them to succeed. We want them to follow God. And there is great affection as you look at this next torch bearer and want them to do the will of God.
Yeah. And the anointing, I think, is symbolic in a couple of ways. Of course, anointing is symbolic of the Spirit of God and our need to be empowered by Him, by God. But I think it's also a tacit way of saying to Saul, Saul, you didn't choose this. I chose this. And you are not leading for yourself. You're leading for me. And this is my inheritance. Matter of fact, that's what the verse says. I am selecting you for a special service, and you are taking care of my people. So the anointing is also another big A word, and that is accountability. The anointing said, now Saul, you're the guy, and there's a tremendous level of accountability here.
And there is great weight upon what you mentioned about how these are God's people. And that's what God wants Saul to understand, is that he is the one orchestrating this. This is not Saul's own power bringing this about. This is God at work. And Samuel does want Saul to remember that God does want to use him. And Samuel wants Saul to submit to the will of God and follow God, because only by so doing that can Saul do right by the people of God.
It's interesting how, you know, Jesus said, he that is faithful in little shall be faithful, it will be faithful in much. And God often looks at how we handle little things. God specifically said in the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel chapter 7, that God took notice of the way that David cared for sheep and said, okay, I want you to care for my people the way you care for sheep. And it's interesting here that God said to Saul, you're going to be captain over my inheritance. They're my people, and you're to care for them. And the larger context is Saul has been chasing his father's donkeys. I am caring for my father's inheritance. I'm caring for my father's property. I'm willing to go hither and yon to find them. He's faithful in little, and God is giving him much.
You know, Saul was diligent, and Saul starts out very well. We'll see that as we move along here. But Saul was a hard worker. As you mentioned, Pastor, here with his dad's donkeys, we'll see in chapter 11 how Saul is working diligently. And God does use people who are willing to submit to him and be diligent. You know, sometimes people just think, well, you know, if I'm going to serve God, I'm just going to, you know, let go and let God. That used to be a popular expression back when I was a kid. What does that even mean all the time? But people sometimes have this passive idea, you know, I'm just going to set back, you know, God's going to just show me miraculously, so to speak, what I need to do. No, Paul reminds us we're to work out our own salvation. We're to use our volition and our will as we follow God. Now, God empowers us clearly. We depend upon him, but God does want us to use what he's given us to serve him.
Interesting along those lines, in the outline for the Christian life in 2 Peter, faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and all of that, the glue that binds the virtues together is giving all diligence. So right to your point, and certainly Saul at this stage in his ministry embodies that. Verse number 2, when thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find. And listen carefully, because I'm going to read a few verses here, my friends, beginning at verse 2. Let me just see where this ends. I'm going to read the next three or four verses. Pay attention as I read to the detail. And it seems just random things, but all of these are validating circumstances to indicate to Saul that this anointing thing is not just a pipe dream. This is not just the vision of an old man. This is what God is going to do. Look at verse 2. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. They will say unto thee, the donkeys which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the donkeys and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? So you're going to meet these men, two of them, by Rachel's tomb. They're going to tell you, hey, the donkeys have been found and your dad's really worried about you. Verse 3, then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another three baby goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a bottle of wine. But that's very specific. Not just how many men are they, but what are they carrying? How much are they carrying? Verse 4, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, a tabret, like a tambourine, a pipe, and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. You know, we're going to get into next episode, we'll get into verse 5. But in verses 2 through 4, John, the specificity is amazing.
It is very amazing. It is the work of God, obviously. And it reminds us throughout the Word of God that God deals with prophecy many times. One of the effects of prophecy is to let people know that God is providential. God does know. We can trust him. You know, sometimes the prophecies, as in this case, that's so specific that sometimes people that want to deny scripture say, well, actually, Isaiah didn't write that. It was written after it happened. But no, God told these men what was going to happen, just as with here. It is so specific. It is supposed to inspire Saul to understand this is God at work here.
And it's not just one thing. It's three different places. At each place, specific numbers of specific random things, specific things that are said. There's no way that Saul could have manipulated any of that to happen. It's like God is saying, Saul, you're my choice. And then I'm going to give you an exclamation point and an exclamation point and an exclamation point so that you're really going to know that I am in this. Because only God is the explanation for such random events taking place like these.
You know, the reality is Satan is not omniscient. Satan does not know. He's a good guesser because he's been around for a long time, obviously. But Satan doesn't know with accuracy all that's going to happen tomorrow. But God does.
He does.
God knows it's going to happen, and he can reveal as he chooses to. And God here is revealing to Saul so that Saul can know this is the hand of God. And this should be a great boost to Saul in trusting God.
And I would say to you, my friends, if you're one of God's children, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, God has a purpose for your life, and he's going to unfold that purpose to you incrementally. I think about Ruth in the fields of Boaz, and how Boaz left handfuls of purpose to keep Ruth moving forward, to show God's grace moment by moment. That's what God's doing for Saul here, giving him just little assurances, little confirmations that I, who have begun this work in you, I will perform it, and you can trust me every step of the way. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. We're going to jump into verse 5 tomorrow because there's a little bit more there that I want you to know. And then verse 6 is such a key verse for all of us when it comes to spiritual transformation. So I hope you won't miss it next episode. Have a great day today. Lord bless you, and we will see you next time. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.